This reading is Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. Salt and light. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter nor the least stroke of pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's quickly pray for Ian. Lord, we just thank you for the words that you've been placed on Ian's heart. Lord, open our minds and our own hearts to receive that message. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. And thank you, Audrey, for reading. So this week marks the close of the Epiphany season that follows on from Christmas. And today is the third Sunday before Lent, which prepares us for Holy Week and Easter. And it's also known as Septuagesima in the old money, in the prayer book, if you're still into the prayer book. Friends of ours have got a beach hut down at Walton, and they call it Salt and Light. And I think that's a great name. It kind of evokes images of sunny days at the seaside, doesn't it? And I love beach hut names. I don't know if you've ever walked along the front there, the seafront, and looked at the beach hut names. There's a sort of British tradition of jokey, inventive names. Maybe you've seen some good ones, I don't know. Down at Clacton, there's one called Jabba. If you're a Star Wars fan, you'll know the character Jabba the Hutt. So they obviously thought that was a good name for a beach hut. A bit like hairdressers. I don't know, have you seen jokey names for hairdressers? I've seen one called A Cut Above the Rest, one called Headmasters, another one called The Fringe. I don't know. Any of you seen any good names for beach huts or hairdressers? Or there are some good ones around. Maybe you can't remember them on the spot like that. Anyway, today's reading, anyway, is where the phrase salt and light actually comes from. And Jesus told his followers in the passage that Audrey read to us, Jesus told his followers that they were the salt of the earth and that they were the light of the world. So what did he mean by that? Well, salt. What do you know about salt? I don't know about you, but occasionally, on holiday particularly, we see salt pans, perhaps in Spain or in Greece or somewhere. And of course, we have them in this country as well, although perhaps not so obvious. Maldon, obviously, is famous for sea salt, isn't it? And salt pans, you let the salt, the seawater, flood in to a flat area, and then you close off the entrance, and you let the salt, the water evaporate, and you're left with sea salt. And first time we went to Spain, we went to the supermarket, and there were shelves and shelves of Maldon sea salt. We thought we'd come all this way to Spain, and you find products from Maldon just there. Amazing. And of course, out in Spain, they make mountains of the stuff, because it evaporates very quickly. But you can also get salt from rock. Rock salt is also a thing. And there's a problem with rock salt, that if rock salt gets damp, and then the salt that you taste dissolves away, then you're left with something that is tasteless. And as Jesus said, if salt loses its saltiness, it's fit only to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. So it's a question, isn't it? If Christians are like the salt of the world, how might Christian followers lose their Christian saltiness, their good taste? Maybe their faith dissolves away in some sense. Maybe they go back to being worldly, just like all the stuff around. I was asking folk in Alden, what do we know about salt? What's salt good for? What's salt bad for? We had a lovely roast dinner last night. Sadly, when we came to taste the gravy, oh, that's full of salt. I don't know whether we put a tablespoon in rather than a teaspoon or something, but it was just too much. It can be too much, can't it? But salt, what does it do? What's it good for? Somebody tell me. It preserves things. Yeah, that's right. Do you remember preserving things in salt? Bacon, for example, is often salted, isn't it? For preserving. Any other things? Antiseptic. Thank you, yeah. Yes, if you swim in the sea and you've got an open wound or a cut or a graze or something, oh, it stings, doesn't it? Yeah, salt is antiseptic, yeah. Slugs don't like it either. No, bad news. Yes, because it draws out moisture, doesn't it? Yeah. What else is salt good for?
Chips.
Thank you. Salt and vinegar man there. Yeah. Chips. He's ready for his lunch, I think, already. Yeah. Salt and chips. Yeah. Very good. It was also very, very valuable in Jesus' time. And in fact, Roman soldiers used to get paid in salt because it was so valuable. And that's where our word salary comes from. You get paid a salary because they used to be paid in salt. Yeah, okay. So salt, in the right context, it's a very good and precious thing because it preserves and it gives things good taste. It improves the taste. But obviously, you can have too much. And it can actually sting and, you know, cause a problem if it's in the wrong place. Okay, so just think for a moment, how might Christian followers lose their saltiness and become fit for nothing? And then again, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. And at Christmas, perhaps you remember that reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, where St. John says, you know, the light has come into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. What does light do? Well, if you're in a dark room and you shine a light, suddenly you can see things clearly. You can see things as they are, truthfully. So light is, it's encouraging, it's comforting, it's helpful. Can bring warmth, can't it, on a glorious sunny day like this. In our family, folk get a bit depressed in winter time, so if you turn on the bright lights, everything begins to cheer up a little bit. If you feel afraid, light can be comforting, can't it? But what about, Jesus said, if you cover it up, if you put a bowl over the lamp or a box or something? It's no good then, is it? The light is not being useful. And again, just like salt, how about that analogy? If Christians are like the light of the world, if Jesus' followers bring his light into the world, what does it mean to cover it up? How might we Christians cover up the light? Any thoughts? I was told this week I need to be a little more interactive, so I'm carrying that out. Give me some answers. How might we cover up the light of Jesus? By not listening. By not listening. Okay, thank you, Audrey. Yeah, by not listening to the words of Jesus. So yes, if we don't listen to the reading when Audrey reads it, if we don't read our Bibles, if we don't hear what Jesus is saying, yeah, we're covering up the distinctive light of Jesus. Thank you, Vaughan. By not speaking out, yeah. We all know that moment, don't we, when we hear something and you think, ooh, I'm not sure I like that, not sure I agree with that. But often, being British, we just sort of keep quiet, don't we? And perhaps we go and tell our friend later, and they say, well, why didn't you say something then? Yeah. Sometimes we need to take our courage in both hands and speak out and say something. Not in a rude way, but just a little bit, yeah, just put down a marker. Very good. Thank you. So Jesus says, let your light so shine. Question. Wasn't that what Jesus criticized in the Pharisees? They were all about telling everybody how great they were, weren't they? The Pharisees. They were always showing off their religious credentials, telling people the right way to live out God's rules. How is this different then? Well, Jesus criticized the hypocrisy of the Pharisees, didn't he? In other words, they said they were good, but underneath they weren't. The word hypocrite, it's actually a Greek word. It literally means a mask in front of your face. And you might know that when the Greek actors acted out a play, then they held up a mask in front of their face to say, it's not me, the actor, I'm playing a character. And if it was a Greek tragedy, then the mask would have a sad mouth on it, and it would be a sad face. And if it was a Greek comedy, then you'd have a grinning mask, wouldn't you? So they had those two masks, which you sometimes see as a sort of an image of the theatre and drama and so on. The masks of tragedy and comedy. So those masks are literally a hypokritos in Greek. So a hypocrite is somebody who wears a mask, if you like, who tries to look good when they're not. And Jesus meant the Pharisees looked good, but their hearts were hard. I think let your light so shine, Jesus' advice to his followers, is almost the opposite of that. Because Jesus is saying your hearts, the hearts of his followers, have been changed by God's Holy Spirit. Now he's saying, don't hide that. Don't cover it up. Let it shine for the world to see. And then Jesus moves on. In the second half of the reading, he moves on to the law and the prophets. And that was the way the Jews referred to the Old Testament, which was their Bible. And the Jewish leaders, the lawyers and the scribes, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they argued constantly about the right way to interpret the law. And Jesus often had a very fresh way of interpreting the law and looking at it. He talked about obeying the spirit of the law rather than just the letter of it. And the Jews accused him of breaking the law and trying to abolish it. But Jesus said no. He addresses his accusers head on. He says, no, I've not come to abolish the law. I've actually come to fulfill it. I don't know about you, I see that pattern in society today, that if you want to stand against somebody, then what you do is you point out the negative side. You accuse them of breaking the law or discriminating against a group of people or causing a problem of some kind. Often to do that, you have to imagine some extreme example, perhaps rape or murder or something. But argument is often the way that people relate today. Parliament's an obvious example, isn't it? We get a bit tired of the adversarial politics, people fighting each other all the time. I watched a TV programme this week about Jeremy Clarkson, King of Controversy, they called him. And he seems to love stirring it up, doesn't he? And either turning it into a comedy, or perhaps sometimes being made to apologise for what he's said. Now, I'm not saying that JC is like JC, except that Jesus was not afraid to be controversial. John Stott wrote a book called Christ the Controversialist, all about, obviously, the difficult things that Jesus said to people. Jesus didn't seem to mind what people think, if only he can do the will of his Father in heaven. And I think we need that same singleness of purpose ourselves, to care about what God wants, focusing only on God. So as we go, let's think about that. How do we do that? How can we be salt of the earth, retaining our saltiness? How can we be lights of the world, shining out for Jesus? Well, I think we need more of Jesus, more of the presence and the power of his Holy Spirit in our hearts. So pray. Pray for the Holy Spirit of Jesus to make his home in us. I found a song today that we don't know that well, actually, but it really expresses that, and it's called Let Him Reign. So you might like to listen and pray along with the words and the music, which will go up on the screen. Maybe put a hand on your heart. Maybe pray for God to answer this prayer for you personally. Let Him Reign.